And so the consequences for his trespass in acting, let's take out the acting, that can be confusing, in making a choice to disobey God, that choice had consequences. He became unrighteous. He acquired a sin nature, a nature that was bent towards evil, a nature that's going to take good things and bend them, pervert them towards that which is evil, lacking in character. So here you, as you were born, you had by imputation in Adam, when Adam trespassed, you trespassed, and you were condemned. So when we were born physically out of our mother's womb, we were born under Adamic trespass, under Adamic condemnation. We are born under Adamic condemnation. We were under Adam's trespass. That separated us from God. By the way, by Adam's trespass, his condemnation, all men can go to hell and deserve to go to hell to be separated from God. The next thing says we were separated from God, spiritually dead, not only by Adam's trespass, but also because we have a sin nature. Now, we acquired a sin nature by propagation from our parents. So Psalm 51 says that David claims that when he was conceived in his mother's womb, he was conceived with a sin nature. So children are not born innocent. When a child is born, makes its entrance out of the mother's womb, and it is born, actually before that, when it's conceived. Let's get back. When the child is conceived in the mother's womb, actually David is very specific. He says, I was conceived. What does that mean? That means that in his mother's womb, number one, he was a person. We heard in the last hour, words like I and me, I subject, me object, if I remember right from the last class, means person. So David says, I, being a person in my mother's womb, conceived, was conceived with a sin nature. So he had a sin nature in conception, so he was in the womb, not just born, in the womb, spiritually dead. So you're spiritually dead by trespasses and the fact that you trespassed in Adam, and number two, because you are conceived with a sin nature. So it says, Paul is reminding the Christians after Ephesians chapter 1 of their former state. And this is really important because there are many people today believing that you are born saved. There are many people who teach, who claim to be Christians. I have an opinion they probably are not. But there are many so-called Christians who are writing books, who are speaking on the TV, on the radio, who claim that you are born already saved, and then salvation from your experience is just waking up to the fact and realizing that you are the elect and you are saved. Even charismatics. I heard a panel speaking once. I might have told you this already. Jimmy Swaggart was on the panel. So was Baker, Jim Baker. And they were discussing the initial salvation where they say you believe God. And they both, this panel came to a conclusion, pooling their ignorance, came to a conclusion that there has to be some kind of spark of good within each individual, which indicates you are some kind of alive before you believe. Because they're saying you believed and other people don't believe, so there had to be some kind of spark of goodness in me to cause me to believe. Well, they don't realize the Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe. Well, probably because they don't. I don't know. I'm not going to go there today. God knows those that are his, but this is what they claim. But Paul here in Ephesians says that every single Christian was at the point before they believed the gospel, they were spiritually dead, separated from God. Spiritually dead. And what caused that spiritual death was trespasses and sins. Let's go on. Verse 2. Wherein, in which, that in which could go back to trespasses and sins. I think it goes back to the sin nature, the last thing. In which sin nature, the distributive plural. In which sin nature, then at that time. So, verse 2, wherein in time past, then at that time, what would be at that time? We already covered this. When you were spiritually dead. When in that time, when at that time, you were spiritually dead in the sphere of that sin nature, you walked. You had a lifestyle. Lifestyle comes about because you're ordering the activities of your life. That's what the walk is. You're walking about. You're ordering activities. Now, the conclusion of that is because you're ordering the activities in a certain pattern, it's your lifestyle. So lifestyle is a good translation for this word walk. We use it that way today. We say, my walk of life is... I'm a businessman. My walk of life is I sell fruit. My walk of life. I order the activities of my life in a certain pattern that I do, that's my lifestyle. So Paul here is now telling the Ephesians, when at that time, in the sphere of their sin nature that caused spirit in this spiritual death, they had a lifestyle. They had a walk of life. They had a lifestyle that was what? According to the course. We studied this word. The word course is the word age. And the word according to means coming down from. So you're in a state of spiritual death. And you had a lifestyle. Now, that lifestyle wasn't totally a vacuum that just came apart upon yourself. That lifestyle that you had in the sphere of spiritual death was according to something. Something else was above it that was regulating that lifestyle. It says here, course. That is not a good translation. The word course is the word age, and we studied it. That age, so your lifestyle was according to, coming down from, regulated by something else that was above it. Your sin nature, your spiritual death, your walk of life was measured by. That's a good translation for kata. Was measured by. Was according to a standard. Measured by a standard of what? The age. What age are we in right now? We're in the present evil age. We're also in the legal age. Here I believe he's emphasizing the present evil age. Now, we're reviewing. It's been a long time since we did this. The present evil age has what? Do you remember what we studied? What can we say about this age we live in? Giving you a little hint. I'm looking for an IR word. And then when you get the R word, it has a G word related to it. This age is religious. Religious and has a God. This age is religious. It's a Poneros evil age. Poneros evil is an evil which is designed to affect others. So it appeals to the sin nature in a walk of life that is religious. It appeals to the religious aspects of the sin nature as we're spiritually dead, separated from the true God. We're ordering our lifestyle according to religious aspects. I'm being very general here at this point. Religious aspects that are regulated by a God. Who is the God of this age? Little g, God of this age, is Satan. And he has designed things in this age that have a religious aspect to them that appeal to unregenerated, unsaved, spiritually dead people's sin nature. So you had a lifestyle measured by, according to the age of the quality of the world system. Now, the world system is, if I was to summarize it in one word, I'd probably use the word society. The world system has all of its governments, could be major government, it could be local government, it could be a family regulation government, but it's regulated by government. And it has a leader. And he's going to discuss who this is. Walked according to the age of the quality of this world, according to, measured by, what is the age and the world? By the way, before we leave the word world, what does the world system have in it also that is related to the age? If the age is religious and has a God, what does one of the things the world system has within it? Religions. There's all different kinds of religions. And as I told my physician, you can basically break them down. They all are either works or grace. It's grace through by Christ, or it's a work salvation. I don't care if you have Islamic, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. You throw them all together. They have one thing in common. They're all works. And according to the standard of the God of this age and the prince and power of the world, the leader of the world system is Satan. Who is the leader of the age? Who's the God of this age? Satan. They have one thing in common. They have the same entity who's over both. Now, what Paul is saying here to the Ephesians, before they were saved, they had a lifestyle that was measured by this age, this present evil age. By the way, if it's a Poneros evil age, it's designed to influence others. Boy, I read something very interesting that was on Facebook today. It was a quote from the leader of the Islamic churches in America, and he said, it was a quote that said something about they do not want to be equal as other religions in America. Their whole design is to dominate the religions of America. And that would fit in with Islamic faith. But they all are work salvation, designed to influence others. That was the reason I quoted that. They're designed, paneros evil, to affect others. And it's what? All to affect the spiritually dead person who has a sin nature. So the God of this age, in malignantly spreading his evil as the God of this age, also has a world system with its religions that's designed to organize and regulate the lifestyle of spiritually dead people who have a sin nature. That's what we have so far, and that's where every Christian was before they were saved. There's no spark of good here. According to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. This shows us where Satan's authority resides, in the first heaven, the atmosphere, the air. His authority over spiritually dead people is in the realm of the air. That always poses a good question. I don't have all the answers to this. I'm throwing out a question. This is some of the things my mind thinks about. Richard says he doesn't want you to know how his mind thinks sometimes. I'm throwing something out. Have you watched the news in the last couple of weeks that private enterprise is entering into space? Have you seen that? They are. And that, I forgot, do you remember the year? But there's this billionaire that's going to Mars.
We're talking about, we're thinking about.
Yeah.
15 or 30.
So one of the things I wonder about is, how far is God going to allow this to go on into the second heaven? If Satan's the prince and power over the air, is God going to allow them to colonize out in the second heaven? Are we going to have Star Trek, you know, to, to go where no man has gone before? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we had a guy, Armstrong, walked up on the moon. Can he attack him on the moon? Yeah. Well, they take their sin nature with them wherever they go. So my thing is, isn't the, hey, you can package James Kurt up into the Star Trek, and one thing I watch on Star Trek, no matter where he goes, he's always fighting, and he's always lusting after women. Okay? James T. Kurt is always a brawling womanizer, no matter where he goes. So wherever he goes, he's taking his sin nature. My question to you was, how far does Satan's authority go? Well, they are his children, so I don't know. So anyway, things to think about. I think about these things. I don't know. You probably see, like, Richard, maybe I don't want to tell you too much what goes on in my head. But anyway, here we go. Not bad thinking about those things, at least I'm thinking about, you know, ramifications of the Christian life and these lunatics. But anyway, walked according to the age of this world, we're in verse 2, according to, measured by, according to this age of the qualities of this world system, is according to, there's something else above them. What's above them? The prince of the power of the air. Now, who is he? He's the specific spirit. The specific spirit that now, right now, Paul says, as I'm writing this to you Ephesians, right now, he is energizing. He worketh. You see that word worketh? It means to energize, to inoperate. He's operating within them. He's energizing them, who right now is energizing in the sons. Now, it's not mature, but sons, as we heard from the last hour, has the idea of a position that has privilege. Now, I would put for the Christian, as we're led of the Spirit, we are using, we are sons in Christ. We have a position with privilege in Christ. As we're led of the Spirit, we are utilizing that in sonship. What is that? Being imputed in Christ is what God counts the future for us right now. And as we're led of the Spirit, that's our inheritance. A son uses his inheritance now. He uses what God is going to make of him in the future. He gets to use it now. So ones who are led by the Spirit are ones who are led to use who they are in Christ, their inheritance, to utilize it right now. So these are sons. Now, who is Satan energizing? He's energizing sons. All unsaved people are his children. But out of his children, he has certain ones that have position and privilege. And he is energizing them in this, in the sons of disobedience. That word disobedience has the idea of completely being unpersuasive. It has, I think, an article in front of it. Let me see. Yeah, these sons of the disobedience. It's a specific disobedience. It has a specific unpersuasiveness. They will not be persuaded. They're energized by Satan in their unpersuasiveness. They're energized in the ones that he has as a position with privilege. Now, where is the position and privilege from this context? Context, context, context. And if I remember, my pastor said, and then context again. He said, where in this specific context do they have a position of privilege? We have an age of the quality of this world system. So these sons of disobedience, of unpersuasiveness, have a special position by the prince and power of the air. They have a special position with privilege having to do with this religious evil age of which Satan is the god, which has qualities of the world system, all of its different religions, all the different functions of the world. So these sons of disobedience, these ones who are energized by Satan, are going to be found in the religions of the age and of the politicking of the world system. These are people of prominence who are going to be found not just in Christian churches, but in religions of the world, especially Christianity, but in the religions of the world and in the politicking of the world. I mentioned to this to somebody just recently. I said, did you know that John Calvin was a murderer? They said, no, he wasn't. I said, yes, he was. Because there, he was the bishop of Geneva, and as such, it was a political state with a state religion, and when he said people were heretics, they were burnt and executed as enemies of the state. The Roman Catholic Church has practiced that. Whenever it has full power, they're mentioning now they're going to vote on a new pope. When the Catholic Church is in full power and control, watch out. Watch out. They have executed many, many people. We were watching something about Hitler the other day. I mentioned to Helen, and I said to her, it was something on the History Channel or something. I said, did you know that Hitler was religious and claimed to be functioning for Christianity? I said, did you know that he not only executed Jews, but anyone else who opposed him in his religion, which would be fundamental believers as well? That's what we happen to be watching, where they shot them down. Back to our text. These sons of disobedience have a position and privilege in this age of the quality of this world, where their leaders, who are energized by Satan, and they're unpersuaded. Now again, what are they unpersuaded to? We look at the context. What things have been discussed in the context? Well, in chapter 1 has been the longest sentence, the longest sentence in the New Testament, where Paul is talking about positional truth. So they would be unpersuaded concerning positional truth. Now, they might use the phrase in Christ, but what they mean in Christ is totally different than what Paul expounds in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. So they would be unpersuaded in their beliefs, in their theology, in their lifestyle concerning things of the Christ. What other things in the immediate context? Well, in chapter 2, verse 1, we just discussed that the Christians were spiritually dead, totally separated from God because of trespass and sins. They would have a different view of that. They would not be persuaded in Adamic trespass. They would not be persuaded in spiritual death. They would have a different understanding of spiritual death. They would have a different understanding of Adamic condemnation and trespass. They would have a different understanding of the sin nature. These are unpersuaded ones. What else would they be unpersuaded of? Well, here's a lifestyle that was characteristic of this age of the world system that is totally controlled and operated by Satan, and Satan who energizes them. I'll give you a pat. Well, let's go there. 2 Timothy 3:5. Here's the, it's not just the latter days of the church, but this is a smaller section of the latter days of the church. This is the hard to bear times. Personally, I think we're there right now, but many other believers thought so also. Can it get rougher than it is now? Possibly. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days of the church, shall come perilous times. That word perilous means they're going to be totally hard to bear. Yeah, I get tired of looking at all the idiots in Christendom. They're hard to bear. Shall come. Now, this is within the church. This isn't in the world system. This is within the church. The church is going to have to deal with this. In the latter days of the church are going to be within the church hard to bear times. For men, what men? Men in the church in the latter times. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That one always gets me, and it's so prevalent today. It's not the normal affection. I mean, when you see women abandoning their own children, I mean, that's so unheard of. A woman, usually you go, I mean, men have always been dumb, but women, giving up their kids. Helen wrote to, who is that person you wrote to and she changed her theme song? You were listening on the radio. Can't remember. Anyway, there was a woman who always used an Amy Grant tune as her music as she came on her talk radio. And then Helen, and she was supposed to be standing up for family values and all. Helen wrote her and said, why do you use Amy Grant when she deserted her husband and left and abandoned her own children without natural affection? She did. She left her husband and left her children to go off with what she said was her what? Her soulmate or something or other. Vince Gill or whatever, that country singer. And she claimed to be a Christian. And by the way, the person whoever Helen wrote to stopped using the song. She doesn't do it anymore. Oh, Dr. Laura, yeah. Stop using it. But without natural affections, are we in that time now? Yeah. Pastor Schaefer said he doesn't believe in Christian counseling. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've seen the same thing. Helen and I have talked to people, and it makes me like go, they'll run off and just leave their own children. I mean, to me, that's unnatural.
It brings you down.
It's like unnatural. You sit there and you cross the table talking to this person, and they're just going to leave all their kids. I don't know. To me, when I grew up, one thing a woman does, she don't want to leave her kids. She might leave that husband that she can't stand, but not her kids. But here in the church, Christian women are going to be without natural affections to their own children. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here you go. Having a form of what? Godliness. Pastor Schaefer was talking to me. If there's a form of godliness, then godliness can be in this evil age what?
Faked.
There he goes. That's what he was telling me. It can be faked. And who's the one energizing people to fake it? Satan? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here again, you're to avoid these people. Within the church, you're to make distinctions of who you hang around with. And here you are to avoid these people. It means you're supposed to use, I heard in the last hour, spiritual Christian's going to make discernments. He's going to make katakrino and he's going to make anakrino distinctions. He's going to make distinctions that separate. He's going to make distinctions that go through. He's going to look at the scripture and make distinctions. He's going to look at other Christians. He's going to make judgments. And you're going to have to make judgments here. And when you make judgments with these people, what do you got to do to mature? What do you got to do to grow up and keep going in the Christian life? You got to separate from them. You don't separate, you're not going to grow. And so he says here, from such turn away. But what's the one thing they do? They deny the power of the energy that's causing them to act in this form of godliness. Back to Ephesians 2. These guys are completely unpersuaded. It says in Ephesians 2 in the context that who is energizing them? Lucifer, Satan. Satan is energizing them. But if you went up to these guys and you say, you're just being energized by Satan and you're having a form of godliness that's a counterfeit. It's a fake. It's not real. And you're just being empowered by... They're unpersuaded. They're unpersuaded. Yeah. I'm being divisive. You're exactly right. That's okay. I'll be divisive. So back to Ephesians 2. We haven't got to our new stuff yet. Yeah. Okay. Of course, that's like, I watched that with a guy shooting an alligator the other day. I think he shot him and then he went, yeah. Something like that, didn't he? Okay. Oh, it's amen and baby talk. I've been too far, I guess. Okay, thank you. Amen and baby talk. So the guy who shot the alligator was talking like a baby. Okay, according to the prince of the power of the air that is now energizing in the sons, not the word children, sons, those who have a position of privilege in this age of the world, sons who are unpersuaded. They're sons of specific unpersuasiveness. They do not believe in salvation by grace in this context. They do not believe in positional truth. They do not. They are unpersuaded in true godliness. They're unpersuaded that they're spiritually dead. They're unpersuaded in the things that God has here and who is energizing them. Let's go on. Now Paul says, among whom? That among whom goes back to the sons of disobedience, these energized men in the age of this world system, these ones among whom? That word among is the word in the sphere of. In the sphere of these people, we all had our conversation. That word conversation is anastrepho. It has the idea of turning again and again and again. So it's not only a lifestyle, a walk of life, but this word kind of has the idea of the routine, your conversation, your everyday routine, your turning around of your life. Every day I get up, every day I fight the traffic going into Portland. Every day I go up here, I wash the clothes, I cook breakfast for the kids. Anastrepho has the idea of your routine manner of life, your kind of routine manner of life. So in the sphere of these energized masterpieces of Satan, all of us, Paul says, all of you Ephesians, at that time, you had your conversation, not talk, your routine manner of life was in the sphere of these people. Now keep your finger here and go to Acts 26:16. Now if when he says we all, who does that include? Was Paul separating himself from the Ephesians? No. He's including himself. And that's not what I want. Uh, what you have here is this is not the verse I wanted. I wrote down the wrong verse. I wanted the verse where Paul was a student and he studied under Gamaliel. Do you remember that? There's a passage which tells us that Paul, you can see the results of that sitting. Paul tells us that he was a zealot. That's a work of the flesh, zeal. He was a zealot. He had been sitting at the feet of the leader of Judaism, Gamaliel, and he wanted to exceed all of his peers. In other words, if we use Star Trek, wanted to go where no man has gone before, Paul wanted to exceed all of his peers. He wanted to go where no one has gone before with zeal. So he had studied under Gamaliel, I think that's his name. Where is it? Five? What, is it Acts? Yeah. Acts 5:34? No. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law from the fathers, and was zealous towards God. That means he's using a work of the flesh, zeal, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way. That's the church, the people of the way. There's only one way to the Father, through Christ. This way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So here back in Ephesians, that's good. Thank you for that passage. 22:5, here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is including himself as he describes them. He says, among whom, among these sons of disobedience, also we all, every single one of us, we all, every single one of us, and we can include that of ourselves. We were spiritually dead and we were under the different effects of the religious leaders of this age and world system, and we conducted a routine manner of life at that time and were influenced by these energized masterpieces of Satan, designed to have a lifestyle within the sin nature, but yet regulating the sin nature. So you can manifest certain aspects of the sin nature while controlling other aspects of the sin nature. So Paul could have zeal directed towards God and persecute Christians as a service to God and have no problem with his conscience. So you can manifest aspects of your sin nature while being regulated by the God of this age, totally separated from God, under your sin nature, and all that's in the context. Let's get back to verse 3. Among whom these sons of disobedience, in the sphere of whom also we all, including Paul, we all conducted our routine manner of life then at that time. Now he says, this is from the last hour also, in the sphere of the lusts of the flesh. So these sons of disobedience, this age of the quality of this world system, still allowed strong desires, epithumia, lust, that came from the flesh, the sin nature. Now, how is this in contrast from what you just heard and read in the scriptures in the last hour? Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Tell me what the difference is here. We read this in the last hour. This is a promise. Now, this is a promise, which means if you're spiritual, you have to direct what at this? Faith. Faith. So it says, this I then say, walk, have a lifestyle. How? By ordering specific things of your life in a certain pattern that it's what? Of the Spirit. Having a lifestyle of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and what's the promise? You shall a little bit. Partially. Start getting victory over a little at a time. Conquesting the land. Little by little as you drive out the Canaanites. No, doesn't say any of that trash. By the way, we listened to Helen. Well, I listened to it, but Helen had to. Because that's what I was listening to. I listened to the Cowboy Church the other day. What did I say after 30 seconds? I said, that guy's a tear. But I made a listen to. I think I tolerated it for about 10 minutes. Then I couldn't take anymore. But we listened to the Cowboy Church. Wanted to hear what cowboys listen to. But anyway, it says here, this I say then, walk by, have a lifestyle by the Spirit. And what's the promise? You shall not fulfill. Phil, it doesn't say you will not get lust of the flesh into your mind. So while having a lifestyle of the Spirit, you can still get strong desires from the sin nature into your mind. But what's the promise? They're never going to be fulfilled. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the difference over in Ephesians? In Ephesians, the God of this age, of the quality of the world system, has his masterpieces, his sons of disobedience, and in the sphere of all of this, you had a lifestyle that was under the influence of these sons of disobedience, and what did you do? He says, conducting our routine manner of life, then in the lusts of the flesh, doing. You did the lust that came from the flesh. So these people help to regulate the sin nature, but they never, you couldn't have total victory over the sin nature. They could regulate partially how they use their sin nature, but they use their sin nature. They never could not stop fulfilling the sin nature. So doing the desires that come from the flesh. And then he says, and the dianoia, that which passes through the mind. Our time's up. I thought we were going to discuss that, but we reviewed. Next week, Lord willing, we come back. We're going to go over again what Pastor Schaefer went over. We're going to be looking at the next verse, which he says, which by nature. So we're going to look at desires, strong desires, and nature, and again go through those things. But right now, our time is up. And let you go home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Not only does it give us insight into our former state of being before we were saved, But it also gives us understanding to how unsaved men operate and function and have a lifestyle in the world around us, and how Paul is making a contrast, a strong contrast for the Ephesians of a contrast of how they used to be and what they should be doing now as they live by the Spirit, utilizing their position right now. And so now may we think about these things as we go forth from here, and may we rejoice in the fact that indeed the Spirit of God is our teacher, and that He only teaches truth, and that we can frame our mind around that truth. We thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.